right after 1 Chronicles, chapter 26, 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. Well, all of book 2 is now sold out. There's only 2 of book 1 left. So if you want it, I would say get it quickly. We just put a text in to our daughter to go ahead and order some more, but that's usually a couple of week process. And I wouldn't necessarily order it online, although you could, but then you have to pay shipping. But when we're back through here, you can let us know and I could get them to your pastor and save the shipping on it. Why pay shipping if you don't have to? Amen. Makes sense to me. In fact, we're getting ready to get back busy again. First week of August, we're going to be in Pennsylvania doing a vacation Bible school and using Illusion like we've done here before. It's a lot of fun. I've seen for yours, you had chalk art. How cool is that, huh? Especially when they turn on the black light and it's like, you didn't see any of that beforehand. That's just neat. I haven't seen that in person in years and years and years. I didn't know people still did it. So praise the Lord. So it looked like you had a great time. So praise the Lord for that. All right, here we are tonight. Let's get down to business. The Word of God. Amen. So if you can and able, you found 2 Chronicles 26. Stand with me as we read our text this evening. The reason we stand is to honor God's Word, because God's Word is worth honoring. God's Word is worth standing for. Amen. All right. And appreciate again, Pastor McNair, allowing us to come. And it's just a blessing to be here. I don't take it lightly. I was always very, very protective of the pulpit the Lord let me have. And I understand that. So we'll see if the Lord will give us something to help us out then. Amen. 2 Chronicles 26. Everybody there? All right. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father, Amaziah. And he built Elath and restored it to Judah. And after that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, remember him, another prophet, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And he went forth and warred after the Philistines and break down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jebna and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities around about, cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbel and the Menomans. I guess I'm not sure how to pronounce that one. And the Amorites gave gifts unto Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also and vine dressers, in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account, by the hand of Jael, the scribe, and Messias, the ruler, and under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. And the whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 200,600. And under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500, that made war with mighty power, and to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men, to be on the towers upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Father, pray you'd help us tonight to learn from this life of the King. And Lord, I pray that if lost among us, they'd be saved, and the saints would be strengthened, that we might humble ourselves before you tonight and purpose to finish strong. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. God helping us, we're going to take a look at King Uzziah. Who he was, how he started out strong, but why he did not finish strong. The reason is because his life was characterized by LDDS. There's labels for everything. It stands for Latter-day Decline Syndrome. Remember this morning when we started in Isaiah 6, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. We dealt with that this morning. And I mentioned in passing, there's a backstory with Uzziah. Tonight, God helping us, we're going to look at the backstory of King Uzziah. Well, who was this King Uzziah, the king of Judah? Uzziah did not finish strong. So I have a couple of questions for you to ponder as we get into this tonight. How many want to finish strong? I do. It looks like everyone. To finish well at the end of our lives. Amen. Now, here's the catch question. How many are willing to pay? Don't raise your hand here. This is just me asking a question. How many are willing to pay the price to finish well? Because, see, there is a price, and being honest, it's a very high price. It's the cost of humility. So the value of that price, yes, it is a great price. Maybe I phrased it the wrong way, but I would say this. It is a hard price to pay. Humility doesn't come natural. Not to this flesh. How about yours? Are you willing to pay the high price or hard price of humility to finish strong? Uzziah, he started out right. Look back on our text here in verse 1. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. And he built Eloth and restored it to Judah. And after that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. He became king at 16. And praying about for direction tonight, I was thinking, you know, I wonder if there be any 16-year-olds among us. If you're 16, please stand up. How about from both ways, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 in that neighborhood? Anybody like that here tonight? Well, stand up. Okay? I want you to notice something. This is when God used Uzziah. So don't think in your young minds, oh, I'll wait till I'm older to serve God. Oh, no, 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 no. It starts tonight. Amen? And the decisions you make tonight could very well impact and influence whether you finish strong at the other end of life when your days are over. So it behooves you to pay very close attention. Thank you. May be seated. I love how relevant the Bible is. It's for teenagers as well. It's for young people. That's a whole other message, but I'm going to stay focused on this one tonight. So he became king at 16. And he was a godly young man. What determined his godliness, according to the testimony of the Scripture, is that he did right in the sight of God. I challenge the young people here tonight to do right in the sight of God. I challenge those of us who are more experienced. I didn't say old, did I? To do what's right in the sight of God. Because you see, we live in a culture, I'm tired of this cancel culture garbage. And I'm tired of this anti-Christian culture that we're in. I'm praying for an awakening in America and revival in the Lord's churches. Would you pray with me on that one? Okay, amen. It's needed. Now, where I'm at with this is, a lot of times people base what's right on public opinion or what's in or what's not. But the Scripture is very clear here to say that it was right in the sight of the Lord. Not political correctness, not public opinion, not the brethren, not some school, not some fellowship, but what is right in the sight of God. If we're going to finish well, we're going to have to play by God's word and live by what's right in His eyes. And on doing that, King Uzziah, 16-year-old young man, God's blessings were poured out upon him as long as he sought the Lord. Did you realize that there are blessings from God for obedience to Him and His Word? Oh, folks, there's blessings that are untold. We can't even take the time tonight to count all the many blessings that God pours out upon His children who are obedient to Him and practice that which is right in His sight. So let's look at some of the blessings God had in this young man's life, King Uzziah, as he began his reign. We see God's blessings, and just verse 6 kind of picks up and names a few. Let me just read through here again. We'll point out a couple. Verse 6, and it said, "He, Uzziah, went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians, and dwelt in Gerbel, and the Mummans and the Amorites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt. For he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. And he built towers in the desert and digged many wells. For he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel. For he loved husbandry." Interesting thought. We'll come back to that one. "Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account, by the hand of Jael the scribe, and Messiah the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. Don't you like how the Bible says numbers? You kind of have to like add that together. So it's 2,600. Okay? Now you have to pay attention because you have to understand what it says. "And under their hand was an army of 300,000. Okay, write that down. And 7,000. Write that down. And 500. Write that down. Now how many is that? That's a lot. Amen. "That made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy." Oh, I love that. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host, shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. Please note that God helped him. God helped him because he was obedient to God in doing that which was right in the sight of God. Everybody with me? So it's not based on your opinion, my opinion, or even your pastor's opinion. And they might even be good opinions, but who matters is God. Is it right in his sight? And because of that, God gave him a name and fame. Sometimes as a young person, especially young men, they like the idea of popularity. Well, young ladies do as well. They want everybody to know them, and they want everybody to think they're cool. That they are something. Amen? Well, of course, this is true. I know it. Okay. Well, God gave him a name because he was obedient to him. His fame spread throughout the land. Now, it wasn't that he had this perfect life and never had any problems. Because we read very plainly where he was in war many times with the Philistines. But the difference here is God helped him in the times of war. God helped him when he was going through the fight. And God gave him the victory. So, young people, you do right. It's not that your life is going to be trouble-free, that you won't have any trials that you go through, but knowing that God knows, and knowing that God's involved, and knowing that it is God who gives the victory, you just keep on doing right. Moms and dads, we got a little extra mileage on us in a teenager. But we need to keep doing right in the sight of God. And you know by this point in our life that it's not trouble-free. There's no one here that's had a life without some trial in it. But there's not a one of us in here who can't stand and say that God is faithful. That in the midst of a storm, He gave a safe harbor. In the midst of the battle that He gave a victory. That is the Lord, and He's worthy to be praised. And He gave Uzziah a strong military, and the Bible very plainly says, and they helped the king. Not only did God give them a strong military that helped the king, they helped the king against the enemy. Amen? And as we do right, God can put friends around us and pastors and people that love the Lord. And we together can help one another against the enemy to encourage one another to stay on the firing line, if you will. Amen. He gave them the latest in weaponry. Amen. Shields, helmets, spears. And there's a newbie here. It's a habergeon. Well, I didn't know what that was. Anybody know what that is? Neither did I. That's why I looked it up in Webster's. And he said that is a sleeveless coat of mail or scale armor. That it is a noun, a protective garment made of linked metal rings, mail, or of overlapping metal plates. And it's called a hauberk, is another name for it. So how many's ever seen back in the medieval times, the armor? When they take the armor off, they'd have on a coat of mail. And it's made out of iron most of the time. And it's these tiny little rings that were linked together. And it went from the neck down through the midsection that helped protect against sword fights. Have anyone ever worked at a restaurant that served like roast beef and you had to cut the beef off? And to do that, according to OSHA's rules, you had to wear this glove that was a bunch of little rings put together so in case, oops, you didn't add your meat with the meat. So the customers appreciated that they're just getting beef and not fingertips. Amen. Okay. So it protected against that, and that's what they were wearing then. Now, amen for that. But God also blessed them with innovation. He blessed them with inventions. He uses the word here, engines. Now, from my era, when I think of engine, I think of muscle cars. That the younger generation has no clue what they are. They go, "Woo, I have a four-cylinder. Ooh." But I'm talking about the old 460 big blocks that's been the Fords with the interceptor, the police interceptor. Oh, yeah, that had some power. I'm talking about the 400 small block that would just get down the road, or the Chevy's famous 350. Amen. And some of these kids are like, "I thought it was like a 5.6. Who came up with that stuff?" So you understand what I would have thought. But I'm thinking, I don't think they had Corvettes and the old Chevelles and Novas back then. So when I went to study this a little further, I found out that this meant a machine with moving parts that converts into power. In other words, it was like a batting ram. It was a contraption built with maybe a tree that was cut off into a pole that was on probably leather straps. And some type of wheel that they would roll up to the fortified city, to the gate, and the pole would be against here, and they'd pull it back and let it go, and smack, smack, and it was a battering ram that would bust down the door so they could go in and conquer the city. Well, that would make more sense, except they said it was on top of towers, because they said the engines were on the towers. Well, what good is that going to do on a tower? Hit a bird? Oh, got one! No. But this was more type of an engine with a mechanism that would be like a catapult. And it pulled it back, was under tension, and this bucket or ever, you know, the device there, they put arrows in it, stones in it. Here comes the enemy. Pull! And it would shoot that out there. And be like a massive shotgun kind of thing, that I could see being helpful. So what I'm pointing out here is, that was innovation of the day. That was inventions. Witty inventions come from the Lord. That's His wisdom. He blessed the king. He was helping them. He gave them an army of mighty men of valor to help the king against the enemy. He had a name to the entering in of Egypt. You're walking there by Egypt, say, "Hey, do you know King Uzziah?" "Yeah, man, did you hear about all he's doing? I mean, he had a reputation." This man, they say, "Yeah, the hand of God's on that man. Better not mess with him. He doesn't smoke you out, buddy. He put the hurting on you." Where'd he get that from? That was the blessings of God on his life. Amen? In fact, look at verse 15 again. "And he made in Jerusalem engines," we just talked about that, "invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad. For he was marvelously helped till he was strong." God marvelously helped him. God made him strong. Everybody with me? Come on now, don't make me start over. I'm having too much fun. Okay? All right. So God helped him. Folks, how many have been saved 10 years? 20? 30, 40, we'll stop there. I've been saved 41 years. In those 41 years, I was saved, incidentally, at 16. 6 months later, God called me to preach at 16. This past June, like last month, on the 27th, I celebrated my 41st anniversary of being called to preach. That's way cool. That is not Terry Danford. That is the grace of God. Okay? So along that way, 5 years, 10 years, 20, wherever you happen to be in your walk with God, I'm confident that you would have to be able to say, there are times that I know it was the hand of God that helped me. You would have to say there's times where I've seen God get involved and He blessed me. Okay? That's common for a child of God because He's our Heavenly Father and truly He loves us. And we'd also have to be honest when we say, there are many times He blessed me because of His goodness, but I didn't deserve it. Because the goodness of the Lord leadeth to repentance. Because when you're being a brat, thank you, jerk, whatever, a bad child, and God blesses you anyway, how does that make you feel? It has a way of humbling. And humbling is what God blesses. So, when we're talking about this, it's easy. I didn't say it was right. But it's easy when God's helping us and marvelously helped us and strengthened us and His hand is on us, even to the point where others might say, huh, the hand of God's on that brother. The hand of God's on that sister. Y'all hear me? Now, it's easy during those times to start thinking, yeah, I'm the man. I've got this. All y'all look at me like you've never done that. Okay, I'm going to switch and preach on lying right here, buddy. Of course we've done that. That's our stinking flesh. There's no good thing in our flesh. And the flesh starts to think, look what I've done. I'm pretty good, aren't I? You know it. You can go ahead and say it. Please, more and more. You get the idea. The problem is, God hates pride. And when we're in that state of thinking, look what I've done, we begin to think, you know, I'm the king of my own life. I can do whatever I want. I'm the king. And as king, I have the right to make the final decisions in my life. Because I'm the king. Y'all hear me? So let me show you a literal king who had so many blessings of God on him that it says marvelously helped him. That means it left out a whole bunch because God was just like, all these blessings on this guy. But he started thinking, I'm the king. I can do whatever I want to. Because I'm the king. I have the right to make the final decisions in my life. Folks, when that happens, you're in big trouble now, Kemosabe. To have a flashback like Brother John talking this morning with the Andy Griffith shows. But pride led to the king's destruction. Look at verse 16. Verse 15, the last sentence again. And his name spread far abroad. For he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But, see verse 16? But, oh no. But, yeah, he's in trouble. But, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Time out. He went to the house of God to burn incense. You and I might think,
What's the big deal? The big deal is, this is when he began to develop LDDS. Because he was catching kingitis. And his kingitis was because his own heart got lifted up and caused him to transgress, which means to cross the lines. He crossed the lines from what God said to what he was going to do, because I'm the king. And the Bible says in Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You know, it doesn't matter who you are, if you're the king or if you're just Terry. Because pride is no respecter of persons, and neither is God. James 4:6 says, but God giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Where did the king commit his transgression? The house of God. I've been saved 41 years. I've got this. I can make my own decisions now. Where do I spend most of my life? In the house of God. Well, houses of God, you know. Which I count as a real privilege. Because in our busy times, we're in church just about every night of our life, which is wonderful. Just because God knows it takes that much church to keep me straight. Okay? But when we're in here and you've been saved 5, 10, the majority of you, 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, it's potential that you might have a little kingitis going on in the house of God. But God says he resists the proud. But God, I tithe. No. Basically, the resist is a strong arm. But I even come on Wednesday night. No. I even go soul winning on Saturday. No. Pride's got to go. See, in verse 16, but when he was strong, enjoying the blessings, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. See, the truth is, the king wasn't allowed to burn incense. Who said? God. Well, that makes a difference. But he's the king. Doesn't matter. God's word is above the king. And God said no. And the king said, I'm the king. Well, the king was actually committing an overreach of his authority. Have you ever heard of that happening before? Because only the priests were to burn incense. While we're on the subject, no man has the right or the authority to dictate to another when, where, or how you worship Almighty God. See, we believe in a soul liberty. We believe in a freedom of conscience. Praise God in the birth of this country when God's hand was all over it. A pastor named John Leland, who had the Baptist vote of Virginia, tipped his hat toward Madison, who on a handshake promised that he would include the Bill of Rights when Congress met if he were to win. Aren't you glad for the Bill of Rights? And whether that event ever happened or not, but it did happen, and while we're on that subject, if you love America, you have to say thank you to the Baptists. You can't erase our history from this country. You can't erase, let me put it this way, God from our country.
Amen. So, don't give up your religious freedom. No man has that right. That's an overreach. And the king was overreaching his authority in this historical event we're reading tonight. Kind of happened to us here a while back. Praise God for the streaming and the technology and Zoom and all of that. But honestly, folks, if you want to have church, you have to assemble. It's what the word means. A called out assembly of baptized believers. Amen. Now, I'm grateful for the gospel going out over the airwaves and needs to be. But if you want to have church, you're going to have to show up. Amen? So, someone who gets this kingitis in their life, they start to think that they have the right to make the final decisions in their life, and that will lead to them having LDDS. And oftentimes, LDDS is fatal, as it was in the case of King Uzziah. This kingitis turns into having a God complex. In other words, who's in control of your life? If King Self is on the throne, you need revival. You need to get that right tonight. Well, I've been saved 30 years. So who rules your life? Yeah, amen. See, the king thought he had right to burn incense because he was the king. So here's a very, very reliable test that we can give ourselves to see how well we're doing in this area of pride in our life. You ready for this? How well do you receive rebuke? When I'm rebuked, you know my first tendency is to instantaneously find 5 things wrong with that person's life and come right back at them. Anybody else ever done that? Pride. So, God gives this king a test. What was it a test for? To see if he was willing to humble himself. See, I'm not making this up. We're just going through the passage. But look how relevant that is to 2021. The Word of God is eternal truth. It's relevant from the day it was written till now and forevermore. Amen. Well, in verse 17, here we go. And Azariah the priest went in after him, King Uzziah, and with him 80 priests of the Lord. So 81 men that were valiant men. Means there were some preachers that had a backbone. And they're about to get in the face of the king. Why? Because he's out of line. He's overreached his authority. Thank God for priests, preachers, men of God that have the backbone to stand up to overreach. Amen. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. King Zenhareth, his little censor thing. I'm the king. Look how God's blessed me. I mean, I'm marvelously helped. And I'm the king. And if I want to come burn incense, you can bet your little priestly robe, I'm going to burn some incense. And these men came in and got in his face and said, King, you have transgressed. That's not for you. This is just for Aaron's sons. And then on top of that, only his sons has been consecrated. So this isn't for anybody. Get out of here. God's not going to bless this. You're in trouble. You need to leave. Thank God for men of God able to stand up. Amen. All right, remember the test when you're rebuked, how well you handle it shows whether or not you have pride. Let's see how he handled it. Verse 19. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hastened also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. He failed the test. I'm thinking if the king would have humbled himself when Azariah said, no, this isn't for you, king. There's not going to be any honor in this. God said no. The king would have went, and handed him the censer and said, you're right. I got caught up in the moment. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. And humbled himself. I believe the end of the account would have been a different story we read. Did he humble himself? He got wroth. You know what wroth means? Angry on steroids. He was livid. I'm the king, and you're not going to tell me anything. And God said, leprosy began to spread through his forehead. When the priest seen it, like, he's leprous! And they grabbed him and thrust him out. They're running to the door now with him in their arms. This is the king. Aren't you glad for men of God able to stand up for what's right in faith of the king? Well, I am. Then when the king realized that he was dealing with leprosy, he knew he had crossed the lines. And he himself began to run toward the door as the priest escorted to thrust him out. Everybody with me? You see how this account happened here? What happened? He developed kingitis. That led to him developing LDDS, Latter-day Decline Syndrome. Where'd it come from? Pride. So let's see what it cost him. Because there's a cost for sin. Come on, there is. Verse 21. And Uzziah the king was a leper until the day of his death. You know what that means? He never got out from under the curse of God. He died like that. Did you hear that? But he's the one God marvelously helped. He's the one that God put men around him to help him against the enemy. He's the one that God blessed him with cunning men that were witty and inventive and had innovative weaponry of the day. He even allowed him to have vineyards in the mountains and wells for his cattle because he just enjoyed it. I wanted him jumping up and down that time. Because he just enjoyed husbandry. Isn't it neat how God sometimes throws in some extra blessings for us to allow us to just enjoy some of the things we enjoy? You think that was an accident that the Holy Ghost put that in the Scripture right there? Because he enjoyed husband? No. It was showing the goodness of God and the favor of God. That in the midst of all his blessings, God gave him time to enjoy some of his personal interests and things he enjoyed. And then he blows it. So if King Uzziah didn't get away with it, then Lighthouse Baptist Church, why do you think you would? Terry Danford, why do I think I would? That shows you how deadly pride is. It'll twist my thinking that, well, I'm going to get away with this because I'm the king. Or, personally, I'm the evangelist. And God says, oh no, Bubba. Mm-mm. Well, verse 21 again, and Uzziah the king was a leper until the day of his death and dwelt in the several house. He couldn't stay in the king's house. Being a leper, for he is cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house and judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, the first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belonged to the kings. For they said, he is a leper. And Jotham his son reigned in his stead. So let's look at the cost of this man's kingitis, pride. He died with this disease. He was cut off from the house of the Lord. How tragic would that be? Can't come to the house of God any longer. He no longer could enjoy his position as a king. He no longer could enjoy his personal interests of even the husbandry. Because he was banned to the house, to several houses. Which is basically like a servant's quarters on the corner of the property. No longer in a place of prominence. He lost his ability to judge the people. He lost his honor to be buried with the other kings. He said, wait a minute. He said to bury him with his fathers in the field of the kings. Yeah, did you catch that? Field of the kings? Where did they bury their kings? In the sepulchres. Now, the sepulchres was in a field. But they didn't put him in the sepulchre. They buried him in the field. Because he was a leper. No honor. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah knew him really well. In Chronicles, it said that the rest of his acts was written by the prophet Isaiah. Same guy. We know who he is. That morning, he went into the temple and seen God high and lifted up. I wonder what he was thinking. Oh God, you had blessed him. I seen it with my own eyes. And he messed up. And you judged him. And then he seen the Lord high and lifted up. So you have the sheer glory and holiness of God. Yes, I believe Isaiah got on his face. And when he was undone, dumb to silence, coming unraveled at the seams, he is thinking, God killed Uzziah, and I'm next. No wonder when God said, after he was purified from the coal from the altar, and you remember the setting this morning, I don't have to re-preach it. Who'll go for us? blessing. Boy, I sure don't deserve to even be alive. Here am I, send me. I'll go. Doesn't matter where. It doesn't matter what. I'm blessed to be alive. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of glory. So we go back to the original questions when we started. How many want to finish strong? To finish well with your life, including the teenagers that are here, the young people. Are you willing to pay the high price or hard price of humility to get there? In humility tonight, God, I'm a sinner. I need your mercy. I deserve hell. I'm grateful for your forgiveness and my salvation. Then whatever your will is for my life, count me in. Here am I. Send me. So I'll stand, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. That humbling is the beginning stages of the worship. Willfully humbling oneself by bowing, kneeling, or prostrating himself on the ground in adoration of God. Folks, tonight we have real cause to humble ourselves before our God and thank Him for His mercy and for His grace and for His blessings. And it would be behooving to us to surrender to whatever His will is for our life and gladly follow Him with humility and the joy of the Lord. Father, we're before you. I'm sorry for the times of pride in my life when I've developed kingitis, making my own decisions, claiming the right to the final authority. How foolishly have I been? Lord, I'm praying for revival tonight here on Sunday night, middle of July, at Lighthouse. As your people humble themselves before you tonight, confessing their pride with a fresh and renewed surrender to you for your will for their lives, that you might get the glory. And oh yes, we get the joy. We just want to worship. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah to your name. Glory to who you are. Would you see fit to meet with us tonight that we might enjoy your presence? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. My wife begins to play. Folks, it's time to move out. It's time to humble ourselves before God. It's time to ask Him for some forgiveness for that pride in our life. It's all about Him. Amen. Now, should you be here tonight and lost, you need to get saved. Please let me know who you are. Because I sure would count on the privilege to take the Bible and introduce you to Jesus. Folks all across the front here now, how about you? There's room. The front row of chairs is wide open if you want to just come sit down. If you can't kneel because of your knees or health, I understand that. God's looking at the heart tonight. The fact is, His eyes go in and out of each row, from the left to the right, from the front to the back to the front, to the left, from the right to the left. God so prompted your heart to even turn around where you're at and use your own chair for an altar. Let us humble ourselves before our God. let us worship Him. Won't you come? Won't you come? By God's grace, I want to finish strong. But my biggest enemy is my own pride. Amen. Folks are still praying. Hey, honestly, we've got all night. I'm not in any big hurry. To do what's right in the sight of God.
Amen. Powerful.